today on Real Ghost Stories Online. It's your calls, it's your stories. Real ghost stories from real people.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown. Quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like our program, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call it. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. When you do that, you get access to all of our bonus material, advanced episodes of the show, the ebook, the audiobook, the archive of episodes, which is one of the coolest things. That's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, going all the way back to when we started the show in about 2014. All of the episodes there for you, all commercial free. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. So, yeah, we started the show when you were two, I think. And you've been on the show since you were two.
Yeah.
On and off. I mean, now you're obviously a co-host, but yeah, you've been to, you know, you were every year you used to do your Halloween ghost story, which was Tony and Harper, I should say, with us, by the way. The No Noggin, right? That was,
yeah, the No Noggin.
That was the original ghost story. Have you ever made a part two to No Noggin yet?
No.
You ever going to make a part two to No Noggin?
No.
It's just going to live.
It's just going to live that way.
Some things you just can't improve upon. No Noggin being one of them. Yeah, that was a good one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a caller. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, guys. I have actually just recently found your show, and I really love it. I've only been listening for maybe like 3 days. I'm in North Carolina. My name is Acacia. And I recently heard an episode on Spotify, and it actually made me remember something that I had suppressed, I guess because it still scares me to this day. So I was about, I would say, maybe 8 to 10 years old. I would say this has probably happened 15 years ago. So I was in my mom and dad's house, and they still live there. I've never told anybody about this, but I felt like I might need to get it out there, I guess. So I had woken up in the middle of the night, and my parents' door is never open. They always slept with the door shut. But for some reason, that night, I got up and I was hungry. So I was going to the kitchen to get me something. And my room is like a straight shot to their room. And for some reason, their door was open. And I don't know what it was, but I saw this white lady, and I could see her facial features and everything. Her eyes were kind of sunken in, and she had white hair. It was very long. She was wearing a beautiful white dress. And as soon as she looked at me, I have no idea what happened. But I got so scared, and I just passed out. And I have never, ever passed out before. No, I haven't passed out since. But ever since then, I will lose track of time. And it's not like the normal, like when you're driving to work, you don't realize it because it's such a routine. It's like 30 minutes to hours at a time that I will lose in the day sometimes. I don't know why. I don't really know what it is. I tried to look it up several times over the years whenever I would just happen to remember it. But yeah, let me know what you guys think. I really hope that this airs. If it doesn't, you know, that's okay too. But yeah, I really love your show, and please keep doing what you're doing. I'm really hoping to become an EPP member soon. And thank you for listening.
Thanks for sharing your story.
The silhouettes and just figures that they see, it gets so vivid. It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just describing it and how realistic that would sound, and how detailed that description was like, huh?
Oftentimes, yeah, when you have the experience of the figure or the apparition or whatnot, it's just like, I couldn't see its face very well. It was kind of cloudy and this and that, but it's rare where it's that clear.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
Is it just that there's stronger energy at that time and that's allowing it to be more clear? Do you think ghosts have a choice in terms of when they show themselves to us as far as how clear they are?
I imagine.
Or is it more so they're just kind of, it's like, you know, it's like energy, like on a video game or something, where it's like they're always kind of running on low. So that's why it's not usually very strong. But every once in a while, it's really strong, but maybe they'd have no idea how to gauge it as far as how we're going to see it.
Yeah.
It's hard to know. But good story. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, my name is Foster Fannin. I live in Deep East, Texas. I was born and raised here. My family has a long background with the paranormal, extending back to when my mother and aunt lived in this one house when they were kids that I believe had a demon in it. I'm trying to convince my mom to call in herself with her story, along with my aunt, who has a story, many stories of the school that she retired from teaching, that where the students would say that they had they would see a man with silver eyes. That I believe is also possibly demonic. The story that I'm going to tell today involves me when I was younger. It's two different instances at the same place. So my mother and aunt both love the town Jefferson, Texas. If you don't know where that is, it's obviously, like I said, deep East Texas. It's located on the Caddo River. They go there all the time and stay in the Jefferson Hotel. And there was one time, I believe it was in 2008, my mother and dad had a little fight, and my dad and I also got into a fight. I was a teenager, or preteen, 12 or 13. I really can't remember exactly when this happened, but it was in the summer. Anyways, she decided to take my brother and I on an overnight trip to Jefferson and stay in the Jefferson Hotel, because she always talked about it. Anyways, we went and we did the ghost walk there. They have a local ghost walk. And this was back before iPhones were super big. And my brother had a push-up phone. I can't remember the exact name of the phone. Anyways, we were doing the ghost tour and we went to the Schluter house. It's a very historic house. And the guide was telling stories about it. And my brother had a recording going on his phone, and he and I were the youngest in the group. There were no other children there. He was about 9 or 10. No, I'm sorry, 10 or 11. And we listened to the recording later, and as the guide was talking about a girl that died at the house, you could hear a young girl say, "Hey!" And it was very odd because there, like I said, my brother and I were the only children in the group. We didn't see any girls there. He since lost the recording because the phone didn't last that long. Anyways, we go to stay in the hotel. We stayed in room 20 of the Jefferson Hotel, which used to be the private residence of the owner, and she did pass. Anyways, my brother and I were in one bed. My mother was in the other bed, and we finally went to sleep, and I remember waking up in the middle of the night and thinking, you know, I felt my brother jumping up and down on the bed or jumping off and jumping back on. And I was thinking, what is he doing? Is he okay? So I turned on the light and realized my brother was actually in the bed with my mother. And this bed was, the way the room was shaped, he didn't have any time to go run and jump in the bed. And he was sound asleep. So that freaked me out. And I kept the light on the rest of the night because I was scared. We leave the next morning, and that's that. A couple of years later, I was in high school. I had started getting into ghost hunting a lot more because my mom did. And we decided to go back to the Jefferson Hotel. And this time it was my mother, my brother, myself, my aunt, and her son, who is my age. And my brother and cousin stayed in that room, and my aunt, myself, and my mom stayed in the adjacent room, which is room 21. And my mom never believed me about the story. I told her about you know, I thought my brother was jumping up and down on the bed, but she didn't really believe me. Anyways, while we were there, I had a K2 meter, and I had a digital recorder, and obviously camera. And I caught some stuff on the K2 meter, so I set it down and was communicating. And in our room, in room 21, there is a wicker basket or a wicker chair set and a wicker table. And it had on it like the container for eyes, along with a tray of glasses, and the glasses each were flipped upside down with a paper doily. Anyways, I was communicating like, you know, do you know how old you are, stuff like that. And my aunt was in the bathroom, my mother was outside smoking, and my brother and cousin were in the other room. And as I was sitting there, I could hear paper moving to the side, like paper sliding underneath something. And I finally looked and saw that a paper doily was being pulled up from the cup, like somebody was grabbing it and trying to yank it out from underneath the cup without the cup moving, but pulling it basically straight up. And I saw that happen, and it stopped when I freaked out and was like calling my aunt in there. But that's kind of really, that's not the extent of what we got in that room, because we got heavy boot steps in a recording. Unfortunately, I don't have one to play right now, and I'm so sorry about that, because I've since lost that recorder. It's been a long time. We also, heavy boot steps on carpet. It sounded like it was on wood, but the room was carpeted. We also heard doors opening and closing, like the bathroom door. Anyways, the Jefferson Hotel at the time, they had a book that, you know, guests could look at that they could write stuff in. And my mom found it and was like, let's bring this back to the room and let's see what other guests have experienced. And she was reading through it, and she said, oh, my God, look at this, because on one page it was talking about guests who stayed in room 20, where we stayed the first time when back in 2008. And the guests said that they experienced somebody jumping on the bed, like a dog jumping on the bed. And, you know, that confirmed what I felt. And the reason I say dog is because we later found out that the owner had a dog in that room that I'm assuming died there. So that's really that. But yeah, there's many other stories that I have along with my mother and my aunt. Again, I'm trying to convince them to either call into the show or at least retell me their stories of when they were younger along with what they experience now. Because they're really fascinating. I will say one story that my mom has that she tells all the time. The house that they lived in when they were younger, it was a two-story home, and it had burned, but didn't burn down. So they took down, or they didn't take anything down. They just put new, new drywall on top of the burned wall. So she said you could literally beat the wall or just tap it, and you could hear the former wall crumbling underneath it. And a veterinarian used to live there. She was dating my dad at the time, who was a dairy farmer, and they used to milk cows at midnight. I don't know why. I'm not a farmer myself. I don't really care for it. If they know what they're doing, then go for it. Anyways, what she would do, and she was the youngest, so my aunt and their brother, my uncle, weren't living in the house. It was just my grandmother, grandfather, and my mother. Anyways, my mom's room was at the end of the house, and it had a front porch that the light switch, the light never worked in it. And my grandfather never fixed it, even though he was, one part-time job that he had other than band director was electrician. Cause I guess he tried to fix it and it never worked. So there wasn't even a light bulb in that, front porch. Anyways, this was back in the 80s and 90s, when cell phones weren't a thing. If my grandmother needed my mom's attention before she left, she would turn my mom's lamp on. And they didn't have lighting in the ceiling. They just had lamps in their rooms. My mother went to leave one day, or one night, excuse me, and she saw that her light was on in her room. So she thought, oh, mom needs something. So she goes inside and goes to my grandmother's room and wakes her up and says, Mom, what do you need? And my grandmother, got mad that she was woken up and said, what are you talking about? And, like, rolled back asleep. Well, my mom thought she was playing a joke on her because my grandmother does that a lot. She still does that for all of us. And she has many stories herself. So my mom went and turned her lamp off and then went to her truck and went to leave again and saw the lamp come back on. And she thought, okay, this time I'm going to catch mom in the act. So instead of going inside, she snuck to her window. And when she looked into her window, she saw a face staring back, and it wasn't my grandmother's. She said she described it as a burned man's face, which she later revealed to me that she would see in dreams, or nightmares, actually, and that it was smoking a cigar, and it was in a trench coat. I say it because I believe it was evil in nature.
And that's where the call ends because he went over his 12 minutes. But the shocking part there, that the thing she's going to catch her in the act and then you see that.
Yeah, that's just like, I need to get the heck out of this house at that point.
And that's creepy that that's an image that she's seen in dreams as well. I'd love to learn more about that and hear more about like what she was seeing in the dreams, if that's connected to anything else, if that's an image that maybe she saw in real life at some time and was haunting her. I love to know more. So please do call back if you can and expound upon the story there.
I would also like to stay at that hotel that they stayed at.
It does sound fun, doesn't it?
It sounds awesome.
So you're all about staying at the haunted hotels.
Oh, yeah.
So you would stay at the Crescent if we went over there.
Oh, yeah. Of course, I would also stay at the... What's the haunted ship that I've always wanted to
Queen Mary?
Yeah, the Queen Mary.
Yes, I would love to stay at the Queen Mary. The thing is, right now, they are... As of the recording of this, they are closed. the city is trying to figure out who's going to operate the thing, because right now it's just sitting there. Apparently it needs like a ton of work to be safe, basically. I was reading an article the other day that there's so much work that needs to be done in it, and if it doesn't get done in the next 5 to 10 years, the damn thing could sink. So
what happened to it?
It's just been not maintained well.
Oh.
Over the course of all these years, and it's been a dispute between the city and the operators. The city saying, well, who's ever leasing it needs to be paying the expenses for the basically the upkeep of the structure itself. The operator saying, no, we're leasing this. You are the one who owns it, so you should be fixing the infrastructure of it, which I mean, it all depends what their agreement is. If the agreement says the operator needs to keep that up, then they need to keep it up. But if it's more so like if you have an apartment, it's not up to you to paint the apartment. It's not up to you to put a new roof on the apartment.
Yeah.
That's the building owner's job. So I don't know what's going to happen with that ship. I really hope it's able to be reopened because I really would like to see it at some point. But those vessels and things like that, there's a reason that the Queen Mary is the last of its kind that's sitting around. The cost to maintain and operate them is so egregious that that's why none of them have ever worked again. There's so many historic ships that people have thought, well, we'll turn this into a hotel. We'll do this with it. We'll do that with it. And it always falls through because people realize, yeah, fun idea would be really neat, but your odds of making a profit are so slim to nil that at the end of the day, it's like, it's a labor of love and everyone loves a labor of love, but not when it costs you millions of dollars in the process and you lose all your money.
There's tons and tons of people that still do want to go on to the Queen Mary.
There are.
I bet that they could get a pretty good profit and start to fix up the thing.
I would hope they could, but I don't know. I don't know. So we'll see what happens there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We, of course, would love to hear them. And, of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to another caller and hear another ghost story. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, guys. This is Ashley with in Nashville again, Nashville, Tennessee. I'm calling because I have an update to one of my stories that I had called in about probably about a month or two ago. You actually guys aired the my story. It was on a day with Harper. It was regarding Red Cardinal. And basically, just long story short, I have this one little Red Cardinal that comes and, like, checks in on my daughters when I'm, like, out of the room. It's like a really sweet thing. But anyway, so this past week, I had the opportunity to speak with someone who I consider a reputable, like, medium. She says that she's able to talk to spirits. I've never had a session with her, nor was this conversation that we had this past week even a session. It was just a conversation. I didn't pay her for anything. But I was telling her about the Red Cardinal story, and I also told her about the time that I predicted my father's death. And she knew about my father's passing, so I had told her the story. And she did say that the Red Cardinal was him. So I asked her, I said, hey, the Red Cardinal, is it a spirit guide? Is it another family member? And she said it was my father. But the one thing that really got to me was she said in my heart chakra, I do have a lot of PTSD, which I would highly agree with that. But I didn't tell her that my father had died by suicide. I believe that it was more like a natural thing, but it wasn't. So I kind of believe her on the Red Cardinal thing. And I told her, I said, well, when I'm driving, I will see one random, like, Red Cardinal swoop down, like, in front of my car and just, like, fly by. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's him. And yesterday, and how all this comes together, is yesterday I was listening to one of your episodes, and Carol was talking about, you know, she just loves daddy, like dad ghost stories, and she talked about her story about when she was in the car, and she heard this voice that said, drive or go, and I was like, holy moly, like, I've had almost kind of like the same thing, where on three separate occasions, I'll be driving, and I've hydroplaned, and I kind of have a little lead foot. But I've gotten better. But I would hydroplane if it was raining, and I wasn't really driving too fast. about the speed limit. But anyway, I'd hydroplane, and on three separate occasions, I had stopped right before either hitting a bridge and falling off of the bridge if I hit it too fast, or hitting a light pole in our neighborhood. On three separate occasions, I would just go slide, 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 and I would just almost hit something and then just magically stop. And one time it got really scary. I had was on an interstate. There's four lanes, and all going the same way. And then on the opposite side, there's four lanes, and they're going the opposite way. Well, I'm in the middle and like in the inward portion of the highway where you see like that concrete wall, like fast lane, what you'd consider the fast lane. I hydroplane on this one instance. This is one instance out of three. My car goes right, so it starts to hydroplane right. I'm like doing like this double spin across the interstate as I'm hydroplaning to the right, and there's some cars behind me and a semi truck, and magically and there goes three red cardinals right now. I got distracted with the red cardinals, and so as I'm double spinning on the highway, I magically stop facing the way I'm supposed to be going if I hadn't hydroplaned. And no one hit me. The semi truck didn't hit me. They were a little far back. And normally in these types of situations, you're either like a freeze or flight kind of thing. I freeze. And somehow I just managed just to put it in drive and just easy peasy drive away on this main, you know, interstate in Knoxville. So it was wild. And, I like to exhibit a healthy amount of skepticism when it comes to like mediums and stuff like that. But I actually believed her. The world's too big to even just dismiss stuff like that sometimes. Anyway, love the podcast. Thank you for airing my story, Red Cardinal story. I just wanted to give you guys an update on the Red Cardinal story. Thank you. Enjoy it. Bye.
That's kind of creepy.
I think the Cardinals are telling you to fix your driving habits. So you recognize that you have a lead foot. You hydroplane on a frequent basis. Don't test the universe too long, my friend, because your luck may run out at some point. That would be, I think, just kind of the logical thing. I mean, hydroplaning, it's scary as heck when that happens. But if it's happening to you on a regular basis, it's not just your tires. It's the operator. You probably know that, but you got to take it easier. You got to take it slower in those conditions because, yeah, there's probably something watching out for you and probably trying to do its best. But, you know, the thing is, it's not a foolproof system if something's watching out for you. Something at some point may not be able to control everything as perfectly as it should go. And it could get pretty bad pretty fast. But, it's a scary thing.
No kidding.
We hydroplaned the other day. First time in my life I've ever hydroplaned. We were driving out. Remember when we slid almost into the ditch?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were driving to a store, and I was really surprised because I've driven in horrible weather, and this really wasn't that bad. It was hardly even like the rain had already stopped, but the road, it was a little bit chilly that day. It wasn't freezing by any means, but there was a bit of water on the road, and I went around a bike rider on a kind of a curve area, and as I went around it, all of a sudden the tires just slid, and then we slid into a ditch. We got out of it just fine. It wasn't that big of a deal, but it was my first time in my life ever hydroplaning. And I, like I said, I've driven through some horrendous storms. I've driven through horrendous snow, rain, everything, you name it.
Tornadoes.
I mean, it's, yeah. And this is like of all the days, like, but I guess this is good. It was not a busy road, but it is scary when that happens because you don't have any control until that vehicle stops, and you just got to hope that you're going to be okay. But the best thing to combat that is just go with the conditions and drive appropriately for the conditions. I cannot tell you the amount of times I'm on the road and it's just ridiculously dangerous and people are just flooring it with their lead foot. And I'm just like, you know, It's horrible to say, but when that happens, sometimes I'm like, you know, if I see you in the ditch coming up here a little ways, I'm going to keep going because I'll get passed and like real aggressive driving. And it's just like, no, I'm not going to risk it. If you risked it yourself, that extreme, you got to be smart about it. And I'm sure you know that, but, it's one of my pet peeves. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. That is going to wrap up today's episode of the show. If you like it, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person and EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes. Everything is there for you at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.